Today in the life of the Church, we revere the doctrine of the ascension of our Lord into heaven. And primarily, this doctrine teaches us that we are not called for happiness in this life. For our Lord, in ascending into heaven, shows us that heaven was not merely created for the good angels, but indeed, it was created for man. For in heaven, Christ reigns in his humanity, and so he ascends to his Father's house in order to prepare a place for each and every one of us, and, as it were, to secure that place for us by the grace he wishes to give us. And we know through faith that the only thing that can prevent the baptized from entering into the Father's kingdom is to offend God by mortal sin. And so the Lord tells us that it was good for us that he ascends to his Father, or else the Spirit would not come. And so the Holy Spirit, as it were, gives us the grace to overcome all the trials and the tribulations of this life, in order that we too may one day join our Lord in heaven, where we will reign with him and the angels and all the saints. And so we must consider what is necessary for us in this life, and we turn to the Immaculate Virgin Mary to see precisely what the believer is to do in the time of this separation. For Our Lady would suffer an excruciating agony, an excruciating martyrdom when her Son ascended into heaven, for no longer was he present as he was present to them prior, and so she undergoes a martyrdom of love. And that martyrdom of love is essentially rooted in her complete and utter devotion to the Most Blessed Sacrament, the presence of her Son hidden under the Eucharistic species until the end of time. And so this doctrine of the Ascension emphasizes the central mystery of our faith, that in this life of exile, in this life of pilgrimage, we are reigned over by our Lord, Eucharistically present, but truly, truly present among us. And so he has established a Eucharistic kingdom. The disciples and the apostles would ask, is he about to restore the kingdom of Israel? Our Lord was not here to establish a political kingdom. He was here to establish a kingdom much greater than any government that will ever reign over this world, for he was here to establish his Eucharistic kingdom. Once the principles have been set in place, then he ascends to his Father in order that the Holy Spirit may come upon us and convince us of all the truths that the Lord had told us. And we see precisely the power of this Eucharistic kingdom when we celebrate the feast of the Pentecost, for often it is not reflected enough, for somehow we think that the disciples and the apostles were merely gathered around in the upper room, waiting around, twiddling their thumbs to do nothing, and then all of a sudden, in an instant, they were overshadowed by the power of the Holy Spirit. But the doctors and fathers are unanimous on what was transpiring in the Eucharist, and most precisely when the Holy Spirit descended upon them. For they were all gathered in order to offer the holy sacrifice of the Mass, that is, that central mystery of our faith which truly establishes the Church as a Eucharistic kingdom. And it was in this context of the holy sacrifice of the Mass that the Holy Spirit would descend upon Our Lady and the apostles gathered in the upper room. And we immediately see the strength that they would derive from this transformation during the holy sacrifice of the Mass. For they would immediately go out and do those things that the Lord had commanded them to do, namely, to baptize all nations in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them all the truths necessary to work out our salvation in fear and trembling. And so, that first day of Pentecost, 5,000 would be converted to the mystical body of Christ by the preaching of that Prince of Apostles, Saint Peter. And again, his message is always the same message, because it is always the essential message of our faith, that Jesus Christ has been faithful to his promise, and he reigns over us now in his Eucharistic presence, in order that we may derive from him the graces necessary, so that at the end of our exile, at the end of our pilgrimage in this life, we may reign with him truly in heaven, where we will see him face to face, as we are all called to do. And so, the ascension reminds us that that of the central mysteries of our faith is the one that is to drive all human beings. We were not created for happiness in this life. We were created for happiness in an eternal life. In order to attain that happiness, the Lord gives certain criteria. He says, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. And so, we must first be baptized in order that we may come to believe that greatest of all mysteries, that Jesus Christ has departed from this world in his physical presence, in his ascension to his Father's kingdom, but he has remained here in that third and final humiliation, his Eucharistic presence, by which he will reign through the love of his Sacred Heart until the end of time. And why was it that Our Lady willingly chose to undergo that agonizing martyrdom by which she was separated from her Son in his physical presence in heaven in order to remain on this earth? Because a good mother is always a sacrificial mother, and so Our Lady would remain on earth in order to teach us, the mystical body, how it is we are to worship her Son in his Eucharistic presence. And she gives the principle of that at the wedding feast of Cana. Do whatever he tells you. And so we must do what the Lord tells us, not what the world tells us. We must mortify ourselves in the things that are contrary to our faith. We must be witnesses to his truth until the end of time. And so we must stop compromising our faith in all the ways that we have done. We must stop compromising the apostolate of the church by trying to incorporate into it those things of the world that are clearly and obviously contrary to our faith. Those devices by which we are using the modern media, modern music, and all types of endeavors in order to try to bring our young people into the church. But ultimately, we not only do not bring them into the church, but we drive them out in ourselves with them. For while we think we remain in the church, we do what the world does. And so, we too begin to pursue the vanities, the lust, and the riches of this world, as many within the mystical body of Christ have done. And so, the ascension teaches us that our life is to be a mortified life, a life of prayer and a life of work, by which we try to exercise that stewardship over God's creation, by which we seek to reestablish that order, or, to use the words of Pope John Paul II, that beauty that creation had from the beginning and was disrupted by original sin. And that disruption of original sin has crept into even the inanimate objects and those creatures not gifted with reason. And so it is to the members of the mystical body of Christ, under the influence and grace of the Holy Spirit, to strive to reestablish that order, that beauty into the created world, so that the world again begins to communicate that mystery that it pointed out in the first instant of its creation, the mystery of the incarnation of the Son of God in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And so, let us strive so that all we do, all we say, and all we think in some way seeks to establish that beauty that was in the created order from the beginning, so that the whole of creation points to that mystery that is most crucial for all souls to be saved. That Jesus Christ truly became man, that he suffered, died, and was buried for our sins, and that 40 days after strengthening the apostles in the truths that he had taught them, he ascended into his Father's kingdom in order to send forth the Holy Spirit to reign over us until the end of time, whose primary mission is to teach us and convince us beyond any shadow of a doubt that Jesus Christ is truly present. And he is present in order to protect us. And so we have nothing to fear from the forces of this world, for we are reigned over by the love of the Sacred Heart, and he will stand by us in the trials and the tribulations, in the temptations in this life, in order that we may reign with him forever in the life to come.
Jesus.